Paul stone in the flesh, basically serving God regardless, as it were. Paul stone in the flesh, and the believers today, was Paul stone in the flesh, and some other things that we're able to look around the topic. Alright, Ephesians 4 verse 11, just the way we've been started. He gave unto some apostles, or he gave some apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, it's not that he gave a particular church apostle, not give another one prophets, not give another one bishop, not give another one. No, that's what I'm saying. He's saying we have apostles, we have prophets. Not clear. So he's not talking about specific groups, he's talking about specific functions. I think our teaching on church and ministry gifts deals with that flawlessly. So he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Can we read verse 12 to verse 15 together, everybody? For perfecting of the church, for the saints. Now, once we go verse 13. To welcome in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of. Verse 15. Be no more children, and be carried about by the wind of doctrine, by the snare of men. So, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus. This church he was with them to train ministry gifts for 3.5 years. And he's experienced them. He said he gave some apostles. And he gave prophets. He gave evangelists, he gave pastors and teachers. He said for the perfecting of the saints. So it means that the work of growth, of spiritual growth, is always continual. So he says, for the perfecting of the saints. Very present, continuous tense. That means the saint is always growing. You don't get to a point where you say, I think I have grown in the word. I recall there was a particular disciple of mine some years ago, quite a number of years ago. So I used to hold teaching meetings very frequently. Then I would cap it at the end of the year with what I call word conference. I don't do it again. I would cap the teaching meeting at the end of the year with word conference in Ibadan. And so he felt like, what else is to be taught? You know, it's normal. Sometimes you just know. After, I mean, we have probably one that probably might not be now. Some of you that said with us in glorious church, they probably did not go to a year. He felt like, I've already gotten the gist. Like, I know how to interpret it. If I see any Bible verse myself too, is it not context, the text, post text? My text. What else again? Text message. You know? I know it's just looking for the context, post text, perspective. And then I'll get it. So he felt like that. He felt he had gotten the, like a trick to the puzzle, as it were, of Bible interpretation. So he said, that's it. That he has grown. And he's moving forward. You know? And I said, no problem. And so, the other word conference of the next year, then he came and said, but I've never, he didn't teach, that was John 14 to John 16. He said, you have taught this thing for 3 years. How come you did not need this one? Growth is continuing. I'm also growing. That's what that showed you. So if you now think you have gotten to the apex, then you're deceiving yourself. And so he said, for the perfecting of the saint, present continuous tense. So the saint is always been perfected. Then what this also shows you more is that, not every saint is mature yet. So he's telling you that there are some saints that will still need to be perfected. There is for the work of ministry. And so, your spiritual growth already has an end to it. You don't just come to church to, as it were, amass knowledge. This is not a university. It's not where you come and then you amass knowledge for self-profiting. You know, when you go to the university, no matter what, I remember when I was in medical school, you know, he'll be saying, for the passion of the patient, for lives, no life lost. We want to ensure that the world's global health, like, what's that primary health care vision? So, is it 2050? Yeah, that primary health care is going to be top notch in Africa, and that means the mortality rate is going to reduce and all. And so they will tell you about all of those jargon and say, that's what we are here for. This is not a business of making money. This is not anything. But the moment you just graduate from the school, your brain will open that you need money. And so, no matter what university you went to, no matter what course you studied, of course, your lecturers will deceive you in year two, that it's for the passion, it's for the game. But university is always for the money. It's always for whatever you gain. Like someone said, it's still for passion. I said, will you work without salary for a year? He said, I must be remunerated. You are still working for the money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so, but you know, the church is not like that, as it were. It's where you are taught to an end that it is for the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ at large. So, when you are taught God's word, it's not head knowledge. You know, you listen to the prophets. I've seen people who go to GFC media, you just double the teachings and say, no, just head knowledge. I just want to know. So that when someone attacks me and say, explain posture in the flesh, I'll be able to stand and say, it's a figure of speech. It's a clinical. You know, the issue is that after you have known all of that, what posture in the flesh is, and every all of that, how is he going to now build up the body of Christ? Perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, of the church. Hallelujah. And so knowledge is knowledge with an end in its goal. It is to raise more disciples. It is to better the church. There's nothing about me in the gospel. The gospel is about the church. So the moment a pastor comes and he comes on the podium and his goal is to showcase knowledge. You know, if I want to showcase knowledge here, I don't think anybody will understand what I'm saying. I'll probably see John 3. And I'll just go, and you say, John 3, not really. But to what end? To what end? You just preach and teach and then no one understands what you're saying. No. Teaching must always be to the intent that your hearers understand what you're saying and they also can take it on outreach, go into the world, win souls, disciple men, and build the church. Does that make sense? So, perfecting of the saints to the end that the church is edified. Can I have an amen? Then he says, so that we will not be tossed to and fro. That's verse 14. Ephesians 4:14. That we will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It says that we don't be children. Children are the only ones who don't have a conviction. The moment you cannot say, this is what I stand for as a doctrine. So, listen very well. Paul, by using tossed to and fro, already implies that there's only one doctrine. Or, better still, there's only one truth. By using tossed to and fro, which is already a disukos, as it were, or it already divides into two, he's telling you that, see, stability is in knowing one thing. So, that we also not be tossed to and fro like children, not knowing what they want, not knowing what is true or what holds true. And so, one of the ways I will know that I'm growing spiritually is that my convictions are stable. I know what God's word is, and I would know what God's word teaches, and I know what I stand for in the faith. Every other thing becomes shadows. For example, there are some things you cannot convince me about. You can't convince me about salvation. You can't confuse me about it, as it were. You can't bring in something else. I think I have passed that stage where you can tell me new things about salvation. I am grounded in that eternal salvation. And apparently most of my core doctrinal beliefs that should go true. I'm not tossed. You can't, no matter what you bring, I think we will just go scriptures to scriptures. It's not experiential, it's not calculative, it's not Agbari, it's not Askari. It's scriptures. Well done the truth. And so, Paul is saying we must train the believers to that extent where nobody's coming and is distorting what you already know in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, it's another thing for you to know the wrong thing. And you say, me too,
Nobody can confuse me. You're already confused. I don't want to confuse people. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? You know? If you don't know the original fact, oh my God, me too, nobody can. You keep quiet and you learn. And learn sometimes. It can be 10 years, 20. Hallelujah. And so you don't rush. And so Paul says that when you know the tossing and throw, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the slate of men, corny craftiness, whereby they way, lying way to this. That means there will always be people who will want to deceive. Hallelujah. There will always be people who want to deceive. It is not new to the truth that there will be lies. The truth knows that there will be lies. Hallelujah. Someone was pointing something to me earlier today at work, and he said, you know, he said he listened to a teaching on JC. this teaching, camp meeting 2018, not of this world, not of the world. That the world. And so he said that as he just switched to a particular channel, I'm not going to mention the channel so I don't discredit their brand. So he said he just switched to a particular channel on DSTV and he had something different. He just finished listening, just finished taking notes. And he said, he told himself, this is a lie. You know, because he already had sufficient truth in God's word. And that's why it's always an advantage when you are a good listener. You know, any diligent Bible student must be a good listener. Any diligent Bible student must be someone who can patiently listen. The moment you cannot patiently learn, you are in no position to go and preach to anybody. In fact, outreach, you should be following the person that is following someone. You should patiently listen. And so, like I said, there are those who will lie in wait to deceive. But you know what? The truth is just one thing. The moment there are different variables, it's not the truth. The truth cannot be, okay, someone said, but there'll be different versions to something now. It cannot just be truth. It cannot just be rigid. You get what I'm saying? That if someone explains John 3:16 like this, another person can explain it somehow another way now, the way the Spirit leads him, yeah, that's a lie. That's one of the greatest lies the devil has brought in. Because if I ask you, did Jesus die for our sins? Eh? Say it very well now. You are not sure. Yes. Did he rise again the third day? Yes. Why did you say? Or let me bring my own explanation. What if he fainted? Or he went comatose? Went to the coma? Right? And say, you are able to say he died. He rose because that's the truth. So the truth is always rigid. The truth is always the same. The truth has no version to it. The truth has no variable to it. The truth has no adapter. It's the truth. So if I teach Ephesians 4:11 somehow, and someone else comes and teaches somehow, we should take what both of us have taught and find out the truth, or both of us could be lying. What I just said, does it make sense? And so, contrary to what is going out around, that now I listen to some bad reviews about some things. How can you say that someone else can have a version of something and that version and that version of it? That's wrong. What kind of church is that? The truth is one. Jesus died, yes. His Spirit is in the one who believes, yes. Not, His Spirit can be, no. There are dimensions to the Spirit. Rubbish. You dummy. How can you believe that? Praise God. We need to be fast. So, again, the church is for learning to the end that the church is edified, that the body of Christ is edified, and that we also have stability. Amen. And so, that made us consider a teaching that we started, Paul's Thorn in the Flesh, 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7. We read verse 7 to verse 10 together, the way we have been doing it. Once ago, 2 Corinthians 12, are you there? Hope you are not opening Genesis.
7 to 10. Are we ready? Want to go? And let us be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may still rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Hallelujah. We've been able to explain quite a lot of phrases that string up to become these statements. We explained the thorn in the flesh, right? Right? That is not sickness. It's not sickness. Paul's thorn in the flesh is not sickness. We've been able to explain that from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. Again, why many people will miss out on a simple explanation like this is, number one, the moment you cannot listen very well to this, I learned this from my pastor. He was quoting Reverend Tokumbo, Reverend Tokes, and he said, Reverend Tokes said something in 1997. I can't remember very well. It was many years ago. He said, the moment you cannot appraise the Old Testament from the four Gospels, from the Book of Acts, from the epistles, the moment you cannot appraise them and their dictions, there's nothing you will say that will be correct. And I think I agree. The moment you cannot appraise the dictions, the literatures, the vocabulary of the Old Testament, apart from the four Gospels, apart from the Book of Acts, apart from the epistles, in fact, I'll put Paul's writing in his special class than the other disciples. The moment you cannot know the differences, the moment you cannot weigh them all and know which precedes what, there's nothing you say that will be correct. I called teaching somewhere. And someone, I said something, and the person came back and said, but Jesus said so. I said, but Paul says so, something like this. There's no reason you don't like believe Jesus or Paul. I said, I'm sorry, believe Paul. He already entered the ground. And some of you are shocked also now. Yeah, so, I said, follow Paul. I said, follow Paul. Leave that one that Jesus said. Because if you are a true Bible student and a strong one, you would have known that Paul did not preach himself. Like, I forgot the name of this evangelist. He said, if you are a diligent Bible student, you would have noticed or you would have heard Jesus' voice in all the apostles. I think that's true. In fact, sometimes I'm reading Paul. What teaching was that? When we're looking at Paul and we're looking at John, explaining John. When we're looking at the words of Paul and we're seeing what Jesus actually said. How that Paul actually was teaching Jesus. How many of you were there? That was last retreat, yes? James taught Jesus. Paul taught Jesus. And Jesus himself said, there are many things I want to tell you. But you cannot hear them now. How big when the Spirit of truth shall come and show you all truth. So that means there were many, of course, many, by using many, that's superlative. He's telling you that, or comparative rather. He's telling you that the teachings Jesus taught were way, way, way less than what he would have taught. That means there are many untaught teachings, or untaught sermons. But the moment you can appraise that, there's nothing you want to say that is correct. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's nothing. And so, proper Bible teaching stands on the shoulder of diligent Bible study. Proper Bible teaching will stand on the shoulder of diligent and careful. Bible study is not something I just sit down and say, this is what God gave me. Who gave you? As a matter of fact, if I'm teaching a school of ministry, I will always say, remove and God told me from your sermon. It's a scam. You already told all of us, this is the Bible. Well, that 2017, when we were looking at the role of the Holy Spirit in Bible study, 2017, there's no need to scam anybody. We say, as I was looking at this place, God now told me. God cannot tell you what he's not telling any other person. And so, because Paul's thorn in the flesh,
I've been wrongly taught by many cultures. And I've read many, many versions of it. And I say, what's this? We just have to sit down and study. Did it even take us 10 minutes to crack? Because it's not even rocket science. Boston in the flesh. These are since the days of Joshua, he has been used. Moses used it. Thorn in the flesh, thorn in the eyes, thorn in the side. It's always used for people. It's always used for people who are persecuting you. People who are disturbing you. For example, there was secondary school, there was one teacher, like, I believe she is a thorn in my flesh. How can I be the only person you call when you ask questions? Yeah, see, on the tens of people raising hands. You don't like them. Sometimes I wipe my face. She said, is Adeshi not in this class? He said, let me see you. I know where you sit. Stand up and answer the question. So the extent that, it's not going to be that I knew I was the one she would call. So whenever I was raising hands, I just said, there's going to raise hands. I'm the chosen one. So, Adeshi, in fact, classmates were already saying, Adeshi, Emma, I don't know it. We need that to satisfy you. So, God will like, say, that's honorable. Can you see class? He didn't gamble about it. I don't know it. Second week, I don't know it. Third week, I say, come here. You will know it by force, Okada. So, I said, I know it. Say, no, you don't know it. I know it. I expected the answers. You know, she was a thorn in my flesh. Hallelujah. She came to persecute me. I know some of you are students, you like answering questions. I don't think I like that. I've always been pass and go. Not like prophet. Those are like scholars. Me, register, don't bother knowing my name. I don't want anybody to know my name. Principal, proprietor, and don't know my name. I came to your school, register me. I write the exam, I pass, I go. Don't remember me, I won't remember you. But she was a thorn in my flesh. Thank God for her. Hallelujah. She added me up on Facebook some months ago. I didn't accept. I don't know what else is coming with. Alright, so, okay, we are going to appraise Paul's thorn in the flesh, amen? So we saw that Paul's thorn in the flesh, he explained as what? Persecutions, right? He now explained as infirmities, which we rightly saw in verse 10. So he said, I will glory in my infirmities, which we looked at the word glory. We saw the way Moses used it in Exodus 8:9, where he said, Pharaoh should glory over him. And we saw that was used for what? To having dominion, to dominate on something. I did a further study on it, and I discovered that the other means to dominate with joy. As it were, and when you dominate something with joy, your weapon is actually joy. And that's why the word glory will now be used in proper context. Does that make sense? So it means to dominate with joy. Let me give you the Greek word for that so it can make sense to you. Kauchaomai. K-A-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I. K-A-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I. Kauchaomai. Hey, okay. So it means to dominate something with joy. Of course, in Moses' instance, it means to command. Sometimes it's used to joy over something. Like you find it in Zephaniah, the Lord rejoices over you with singing. So look at the things Paul says he's going to dominate with joy. He says he's going to dominate some things with joy. That means his weapon will be joy. How about that? How about joy as a weapon? So he says, I will dominate this with joy. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. We have seen the infirmities are the infirmity sickness. Come on. The infirmities of Paul. Sickness. Eye problem. Tummy that was rolling. Acid reflux. What else? What other sickness do people have? So, Paul's thorn in the flesh or his infirmities, the same thing. We are seeing how we will glory in them, right? Right? We are saying, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Abba. So, look at the things he said in with glory. He said in reproaches. Reproaches. Reproaches actually refer to insult. Overbearing insolence. You know, something like that. Someone just comes and, how many of you have been insulted before? I mean, you are preaching the gospel, but the gospel not insult of Chelsea and Arsenal fan, or you went to watch ball. Yeah. I mean, I've been insulted before.
You went to preach the gospel.
I've been insulted as a pastor.
I mean, it is normal.
There was a time like that. One guy said, and those who are abusing pastors, that they are committing, where you come from, that they are committing the unpardonable sin. I laughed. He said, that your body's in the right, beginning to abuse any pastor. True, you shouldn't. I don't think any sane member of Glorious House Church will even take his phone, go to Facebook or whatever you go, and then start talking against any ministry. Today, they say a pastor killed someone and buried the head. You will not find me commenting. They say a pastor is... Hallelujah. Because I'm not God. But you know, some people are taking it upon themselves. They are the judge. They that they will see the judge. No, the body of Christ has to stand up against this. Activists or the body of Christ. No, we can't take this anymore. Who are the we? What are we preaching? We can't take this anymore. We say no to rape by pastors. Time has proven that some people who say the same thing are doing the same thing. Selah. Hallelujah. So he said, it's all because of these pastors. That's true. But the truth is, it's part of the job description. Pastors being insulted is normal. I expect it. Sometimes, it's the work of ministry is up and down. There are times you'll be ailed. So the best pastor in the world. The same person that called you the best pastor in the world will tell you that there's nothing about you. Yeah, there's nothing special. Anybody can teach this. God will abuse anybody. You should not be disappointed. It's part of the job description. Hallelujah. I think the ayat I just say is me. Wow. Thank you. I move on. It's part of it. You are called to Christ to be insulted too. How do you think you are going to preach the gospel and people are going to say yes to the glory of God and you won't be insulted? You think the devil is not going to come after you? Even in the little things like reproaches. People are going to insult you. So Paul says, I will glory in insult. When you insult me, I will be joyous. That's a man, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. So people will disrespect, they will disregard you. It's normal. And some people are saying, Pastor, blessed teaching. Some people are thinking in their head, capish, rubbish. Good riddance to what? Good riddance to bad rubbish. That teaching, all those teachings, I've known this as well in 2001. The teaching. Oh, Clamel. Oh, my God, only GHC media. when you are facing with questions in life, questions no man ever told you. Hallelujah. So it's normal. People will disregard you. Hallelujah. So ministry is a long distance race. It's not for the fair weather man. So times will come where people will disregard you. It's not for those who think everything must be going smoothly. So as a man in Christ, a man who is going to serve Jesus, listen very well. Every man who is actually going to serve Jesus must prepare for insults. Praise God. No, we looked at that last week. 2 Timothy 3:12, right? Right? Every man who is going to live righteously in this present world, what? Must be persecuted. Will be persecuted. So you have reproaches. People younger than you will call you and say, will tell you, they are saying rubbish. I mean, they are correct. I'm not saying that this is not persecution. In the church, people younger than you will tell you, hey, bro, well. How are you saying in our church? You are talking rubbish. Yes, ma'am. What should I have said? This is someone probably that when you are in a It's 100. You are doing his name is everybody. But once the person knows more than you, he knows more than you, you can't buy it. You walk towards knowing more. Because if it's about Jesus, it's not about you. Right? So the moment you are serving Jesus, you are not serving yourself. And so his thought will become to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Someone who is way younger than you will teach you how to pray. And it's allowed. Praise God. You teach you how to pray. Age is nothing in ministry. And what teaching is that? We have said the four things that must not get to you. That thing was known as violence. Sensitivity of the heart. Eh? Is that it? Age, money, societal status. Abi, what else? Therefore, those things must never get to your heart. When you are outside, you might be doctor, you might be professor. When you come to the church, they will rightly call you brother, and you must take it. Praise God. If you like, be the king of the town. When you come to the church, nobody is going to say HRM, Osheku Gbengbe. HRM Daniel Ola Oshie become one of the land of His Royal Majesty. We invite His Royal Majesty to take your offering. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope I can visit our church. If someone behalf of my family and I, what kind of rubbish is that in the church? Who knows you as His Royal Majesty? Who put you as Majesty? Brother Olao Shodikon, have you done your prayer group? Is the king of? Say, I was in the meeting with the chief. Chief, instead of 2 hours, do 4 hours. I have meeting with what? God, Jesus. The moment that kingship gets to you, you are not serving Jesus. You are serving yourself. And guess what? What many people forget is that you are going to give account. This life is not all there is. I've been teaching for a few days, and I still get nervous every time. That's true. I'm coming to teach. I've written everything now. I've double-checked and checked and checked. I'm saying the truth. And then I'm still standing, knowing that everything I say today, or every other day, I'm going to give account for it. That's the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not serving yourself. Praise God. So Paul said, in reproaches. 2018, I went for a prayer retreat. I think I told all about it. Was it you? Of a man who already was a pastor. He should be in his 60s. He was already, is it zone? No, almost like a regional coordinator of a very big church in Nigeria. In fact, one of the biggest denominations we have in Nigeria. He's already a regional pastor. Regional means you're in charge of almost the Southwest, like say Southwest. You know how many churches you have in Southwest. And this man came in the corner with the truth of God's word and he dropped it. And he's now in the technical department of another church where God's word is being taught. So I met him and we were going on outreach in that retreat. And he said, just put me through. Now he was not the one telling me all these things. I had to fish it out from him. Normally, you are just saying, I used to be. You're not serving God. At least let me get this more glory of before. But then I left it for serving God. I said, you just joined so, because I used to see him in midweek service. He said, oh, yes, my brother, yes. I said, wow, welcome, sir. I said, this place looks familiar because I know that church too well. Scott said to some things I've done before. So I know that church too well. I know the structure and everything. I said, I've seen this face before in one of the calendars. I've seen the face before in the calendar, on the church national calendar. He said, yes, I was privileged to. I said, you have learned a lot. That word, you are privileged to. I said, sir, can you tell me about it? I wanted to learn. And he explained to me and all. A man in his 60s came down from all everything he has been put on to learn God's word. You will suffer reproaches. So, on another day, and I saw someone else We were away from the retreat, so normal service. And someone was not telling him, he said, that's not the way you put it, sir. You put it this way, sir. This way is arranged. This way is done. I don't want the coordinator to see it this way. He said, okay, man. In my heart, I said, this is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And that's what I told myself, I said, I will follow this example for the rest of my life. So, in ministry, such comes. People who are not even up to... What is wrong with you not even go to school? Which is not a minus, really. If you use it to your advantage. You are in another world. 2020 is something else. You have to even go to school. Apparently, they stopped school for how many months? The world collapsed. Let's now tell them to halt education. Let those that are looking for a job see job first. No, you know, agree with me. Those of you still in school. Alright. Oh, you want to graduate. Alright, so. You know, it's not about you. You will suffer. Someone who, probably you are a professor. Someone who is in the level of year one student. He come to you and say, sir, have you done your prayer group? Say, yes, sir. I've done it. You might even be his professor. Probably the head of the department. How about that? But if you cannot put that down for the sake of Christ, you are not a worthy servant. You must carry your cross. Hallelujah. Paul said, I will glory in reproaches like that. That's the man in Christ. You will now glory in reproaches like that. He also said, I will glory in necessities. In necessities. Necessities means the things I need, legitimate needs. Legitimate needs. You know, I want to travel to Bahamas. It's not a legitimate need. You know, I just feel like cooling off in Bahamas. I just want to feel the Swedish sun. I want to feel the Swedish sun. I want to go somewhere in Hawaii. In the coast of Johannesburg. Hello? You know that one, you just want to. I want to. But they say, pay school fees. Or pay house rent. That's a legitimate need. Paul says, even when there are necessities like this, in the face of the gospel, I rejoice. I don't allow it overshadow what I'm doing for the Lord. Necessities. And I'm K in the Greek. A-N-A-G-K-E. The needful. So, the gospel sometimes will affect your needs. Your needs. There was a time that I had opportunity to travel out of the country. I mean. And it was legitimate, really, because Nigeria was so evil, I was terrible. I wanted to just find a safe haven, look for somewhere in North Carolina, and then settle down. You understand? Every young man like me would want that. Legitimate, in fact, I won't pay a dime. And God said, I need you. Most basically, I need you in Lagos. How is that even Lagos? He said, Lagos. I don't like Lagos. I've not always rated Lagos. I don't think any bad person likes Lagos. Naturally. Because of the contrast. But I said, yes. I was young. I was old enough in the faith to know what God wants me to do. It didn't make sense at first. Right when I came to Lagos and I had no place to stay. I stayed with a friend in Bega. I said, God, are you sure you need me here like this? I'm going to miss tickets. I've missed the ticket to travel out of the country. Hallelujah. Another one came when I was already pastoring here. You know, free, I was going to work, already work was waiting in a design agency. I was going to have free everything. I said, what did I just say? Close the email. I'm not going nowhere. What will I tell the church? I'll not come here with my stupid microphone. See, we need to part. We part to meet. The higher mountains, the deeper seas. I move on in the power. You are moving on to something else. And oftentimes, people who just miss the will of God in a very critical turn, they never get it back. I heard someone say something. My pastor said, he said, when you leave the work of the gospel for something else,
He said, before you can find your way back, it's going to be hard. I did not really relate with it.
2015.
I did not, until more recently. I said, it's true. I said, it's true. Nobody leaves the work of ministry and remains the same. I've seen it again and again. So Paul says, I will glory in necessities. Legitimate needs. So, in the face of necessities, we keep serving the Lord. Sometimes, no, necessities, maybe money. Sometimes it's not even money. You want to marry. Husband is not coming.
I've heard young people say most of this.
If that is causing your anxiety and affecting your ministry, something needs to change. You need to work on your heart. He said in persecutions, verse 10, in distresses. Distresses refers to inconvenience. That means there are times when I'm serving the Lord and things are not convenient. Everything is like upside down. Things are not convenient. Paul says, I will glory in this. I will take pleasure in it. It will not affect what I'm doing for the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone who is going to serve Jesus must focus on the Lord, or not himself. As I said earlier, if it's about you, then it's not about him. Then if it's about him, that is Jesus, then it will be nothing about you. It's a true test of ministry. Listen very well. If it's about Jesus, you will not come to the picture at all. That means I am last. If I'm truly serving Jesus, my desire, my want, my pleasure is the last thing to consider. The first thing I consider is the Lord. What is he saying? What does he want me to do? You weigh your heart. You weigh your ambitions. You weigh your decisions. Is this voice I'm listening to, is it me or God? In the work of ministry, a lot of things will come like that. Who am I listening to? God or me? So, you must always remove yourself and your needs from serving the Lord. See the way Paul puts it. 2 Corinthians 6. We were there last week. Learning something? Huh? 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 3. Let's read verse 3 to 4. I'll just read 3 to 4. Then we'll pick it up from there. Want to go? Give no offense in anything. That the peace of God. As ministers of God, wait there. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. In all things, approving ourselves as what? Ministers of God. In what? In much patience. The minister of God is approved in much patience. Patience refers to endurance. I've explained patience to you before. Now, patience is not just waiting. I don't remember the explanation. Which book? Book of James. Is it Book of James? Well, I said, patience is not you. When people say patience, they think it's just, okay, I'm waiting, I'm going to wait. Patience is not just waiting. Patience is what you do while waiting. So, for example, I'll skip that. Patience is what you do while waiting. Hallelujah. So, patience is too vital to ministry. It's very vital. Be patient with your disciples. Be patient with what God has committed to your hands. Just be patient. Take time with things. Be patient. Anyone who is going to live righteously will be patient. Be patient with what God is doing in your life. Be patient. In necessities, be patient. In tribulations, be patient. In reproach, be patient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Verse 5. In strife, everybody in movement, in tumult, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. By pureness. Let's stop there. By pureness. He said we are proved ministers of God by pureness. He has mentioned stripes, labors, fasting. He said, but pureness. Pureness is the word to be clean. To be clean. By pureness. Be clean. Let your thoughts be clean. Let your ambitions be clean. Am I serving God for money? Am I serving God to be known? Am I serving God so that everybody can see me? Be pure. We sang that song earlier. Purify like gold, so I may be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. I know many of you know doctrine more than that. Thank you. Be pure. Be pure. There's one thing I can say very well in ministry. And I always tell my friend, who is also a pastor, I can't even say, my hands are clean. You see, if today becomes the day of the Lord, that day of the Lord we expect, today, my hands are clean. My hands are clean. I have no ulterior motive to ministry. I will boldly say it any day, anywhere. My hands are clean. I have no ambitions. In ministry, he leads and I follow. My hands are clean. Be pure. Paul says by pureness. I have no person. I don't chat with people or other people's members. And I learned that from my own pastor. That's where I was trained. I don't. there are people, folks who come to me, ask questions. The first thing I ask is, what church do you attend? You tell me your church. I say, you have a pastor? Yes. Kindly message your pastor, please. I want to answer your question. Kindly message your pastor. Or tell him to probably contact me. I should answer your question. If you can be bold enough, your pastor contacts me, I will answer. I don't. By pureness. We are not going to gather crowds because we need this auditorium to be full. I say, hey, everybody, just come. Come as you are. No, we are going to raise disciples. By pureness. Be clean. Praise God. You know why? One day, your works will be judged. I've always said this, eternity is longer than now. If you like, live 1,000 years, which you have not seen. You don't even have 1,000 years to look, but eternity is longer. And you are going to live with everything you have done. Serve Jesus with pureness. Are you listening to me tonight? With pureness. Paul said a minister of the gospel is approved by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering. By kindness, verse 6, by the Holy Ghost, by love of fame, by the word of truth, by the power of God, the armor of righteousness, by the rest of the rest, by honor and dishonor, what I was telling earlier, reproaches, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, verse 9 says, as unknown, yet, that's perspective, the world is saying we don't know him, hallelujah, yet well known of God. There are people that will see, the world will not see them on TV. They are not seeing them on newspaper. Someone telling me that he has not seen a church flyer, a hard copy flyer for Sunday service, or poster, or banner. And you will not see me there. And I say, maybe probably with my wife, something like that. The pastor and pastor misses. As unknown. Hallelujah. I would rather be unknown all my life and be known by the Lord than the whole world knows me and Jesus says, I never saw your works. What shall you profit a man? Hallelujah. Has unknown, yet well known of God. Has unknown. In ministry, sometimes you be ready to be unknown. There are folks who, thank you, Jesus. I've said this thing before and I will say it publicly with the mic. Don't take this out. Bishop Abioye, that's Winners Chapel, that's Living Faith, he's a man I respect a lot. I think he has been with Bishop Oyedepo for over 30 years, close to that. When you're looking for people to emulate in the faith, that man. And he says something vital that I don't think I will forget even in eternity. He said, I would rather be number two in God's plan than number one in mine. That word eats me deep every morning. When they asked him that he could have set up his own church and probably passed away with half of the members. Easily. He laughed. He said, I'm called to follow Bishop Oyedepo.
That did not even get to me as much as I will rather be number two in God's plan than number one in mine. That's a man who is serving Jesus. He has taken away himself from the picture. Hallelujah. I'd rather be number two in God's plan. As unknown, yet well known. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As unknown, yet well known of God. As dying, the old will live. As chastened and not killed. Can we verse 10 together? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making men rich. As having nothing. Hallelujah. Pray for me as I close. Brethren, I judge you. These are the times to serve God regardless. These are the times to serve God regardless of what you are facing, regardless of persecutions, regardless of necessities, regardless of reproach, insult. These are the times to put yourself last. Can you listen to me? As you move and prepare for a workers' meeting, it's time to revisit those secret ambitions. It's time to revisit every truth you have entrained in your heart, everything you have put in your hand as a child. That's all. You know that song? In my secret heart, no other what? No other throne survives. No other throne survives Jesus. My thoughts, my long suffering, my long suffering, my patience, my knowledge, as unknown yet well known of God. As dying, really, I'm alive. As poor yet making many rich. As poor yet making many rich. As having nothing yet possessing nothing. We are the servants of the Lord Jesus. We are the servants of the Lord Jesus. We are going to serve God regardless. We are going to serve God regardless of ourselves. Regardless of our necessities. Regardless of our passions. Regardless of what's going on. Regardless of that secret ambition of ours. I'm going to go for what God says. I'm going to go for what God says. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I'm still God's man. I'm not in my own plan. I'm still God's man. I'm still God's man. I'm still God's man. Standing strong no matter what I face. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I'm still standing strong. I'm still standing strong just like Paul. I'm still standing strong like Peter. I'm still standing strong like James. Nothing is moving me. I'm stable with always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh yes, oh yes. I'm not tossed. I'm not tossed to a fool. No offense. I'm giving no offense in anything. I'm not giving you to offense. I'm not throwing in the tower to offense. Offense is not going to get the better of me. No. I'm God's man to the core. I'm Jesus' man to pray and forever. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Give you no place for peace. Give you no place for peace. Regardless of personal ambitions, regardless of necessity, regardless. There are words that should come to your mouth. Regardless. Insult comes and regardless. I'm a mountain. Not to be moved. Regardless. Jesus is going to see me one day and say, you did too well. He's going to say, that's my boy. You did too well. I expect that day. By promise. We stay pure until that day. We stay pure until that day. Go to your booty. No. The devil is not going to get to me. No. Life, circumstances, and circumstances will not get the presence of me. No. Till that day. By promise. As a known, yet well known of God. Regardless. Regardless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I keep my hands clean. Free of offense. Kept to the day of the Lord. Serving him to the very end. No self here. No self here.
No flesh. No flesh. Hear that vision. Hear that vision. That things are about to throw away because of the gospel of God. I'm still ready to throw many as possible away. Hallelujah. That things I have to throw. Life opportunities presented gold. But you know what? Not all that glitters. That things are thrown away. But much more. That things I'm allowed to throw away. To throw away. If God says, get this out of the way, I'll get it out. He says, drop this mic to me. How good it. As I know, yes, we are one of them. He says we should go to the bush. We are ready to move. I'm not my own man. I'm a servant of righteousness. So should you. You should. You should. You should. You should. Never let anything get to your heart. No secret stone. No secret stone. No secret stone. No secret ambition. You must purchase those souls on the streets. You must go after those who are too bad. You must run after with your last breath. So says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. No self here. No flesh here. No offense here. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. What I always said earlier, if it's about Jesus, then it's nothing about us. The moment it becomes about us, what can we do? It's our job. How can we multiply the job? Then it has ceased to be about us. But no matter what you do, there's one day to come, and a judge that no man can bribe. Every man will not stammer. You are going to give account. I will give account. Of what we do with Jesus on the earth. Did we use it for ourselves? Did we just gain any acknowledge? Or did we run the race? Did we fulfill our course with joy? Those are questions you should be ready to answer. Let me from now. Hallelujah. It's about Jesus. And we will serve him to the very end. We will serve him to the very end. We will serve him to the very end. 20 years, 30 years, 40, 50, 60, 70. As long as these lungs still supply air, as long as I still take in oxygen, as long as this heart still beats, beat for Jesus. It's a beat for Jesus. I'll be able to say at the end of life, I came to the name of Jesus. I wrote something about breaking in the land of the week. September, August 17th, 1917 to September 19th, 2003, and it's still speaking today. It's still talking. Those are the men of God. Where he did not do physical breakfast at all. You are talking about someone like Reverend Kenneth Hagin, who is the number one best seller book of Christian literature. You would have thought that he did not write any single book in 40 years of ministry. He didn't write one. He didn't go on TV like this throughout. Throughout about 70 years of ministry. About 70. He didn't go on TV. When he was asked, he said, God did not tell me to. This one still shocks me. He didn't go outside America at all. To preach and say, he invited me. He said, God asked me to stay in America. You must follow God's plan for now. God asked me to stay in America. And now today, he has churches all around the world. Because it's about God. It's about to be God. By our own selfish admissions, we will go in your name to preach your word, to prepare your message, to the lost and embrace into that. You are going to use yourself to save the whole world. Don't just pray to God. Pray for yourself today.
Jesus, my life is yours. Tonight, I want to accept the life of it will never be about to anymore. I share my life in your hands, Lord. Take care of me. I will lose my simple devotion. I will lose my simple heartedness. I will lose my simple heartedness. I will lose you, Jesus. I will lose it. My heart is simple to the very end. I wait for your voice. Like that good sheep, I wait for the voice of a shepherd. Your voice I will follow. Your word I will follow. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. Let so so break and the andosha. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. I'm sorry, I pray for yourself. Jesus, you are the owner of my life. You own this heart of mine. Pray. I will fulfill my ministry where you have placed me. No self, no flesh here. No self here.
Jesus said, every tree that my father has not planted shall be uprooted. What I want to do is by prayer, I want to uproot every seed of offense. Every seed of offense. I want to uproot it by prayer. Everything that God did not put in your heart, I want to uproot it by prayer. Are you listening to me tonight? We are in very sensitive time. I prepare the altar meeting. We want to uproot every seed that God has put in your heart. Everything that God did not put in your heart that is coming to your heart, I want to uproot it by prayer. I want you to lose yourself in the place of devotion. I want you to submit to the school of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? You pray like this is the last prayer you pray. Like that. You pray in the Spirit. Jesus. There's a song we used to sing in the Spirit. You are into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to see. Come in to my beautiful song. I don't know if I'm here, you know. If you know me well, you know I have to switch in here. I don't know if I'm here, you know. Don't say, it's in my heart. God tell him to come in now. He said, it's in my heart. It's in your heart, don't say, your letter say, come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to my Lord. Be the center of my devotion. Be the center of my focus. Be everything I think about in the morning and before going to bed at night. Be my everything, Lord Jesus.